Josh Haston here. Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network here at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 10th of October, 2016. Thanks so much for joining us. It's been a while. It's been a while since we did a show. Last week, of course, Rosh Hashanah, and we took the week off, but now we're back. We're back on the microphone, and the focus, of course, is on Yom Kippur, which begins tomorrow night. But unfortunately, a bad taste in my mouth and a lot of stress and frustration and anger on the minds of many who are trying to focus on our prayers leading up to Yom Kippur. And that, of course, is because of yesterday's horrific terror attack in Jerusalem, here where I'm sitting in the Capitol. Two Israelis murdered by a jihadist, a Hamas terrorist from Jerusalem. He lived here. He lived not too far away from where I'm sitting right now, taking advantage of his blue identity card and carrying out a drive-by shooting attack that claimed the lives of Staff Sergeant Major Yosef Kirma, 29 years old, a patrol officer, along with Levana Malachi, 60 years old, a former Knesset employee. He went on a shooting rampage in his car. The terrorist, 39-year-old, a resident of the Silwan neighborhood, whose identity is not reported, at least in the Israeli media, was killed in the exchange of a gunfire there. One of the most disturbing things about the incident is that the attacker was well known to police. He was actually supposed to be going to prison or back to prison. He had already served time for assaulting a police officer on the Temple Mount in 2013. In other words, the authorities knew who he was. They knew he was a risk, a threat. They were lenient with him. And this is what happened yesterday. He also was known for his incitement on social media, on Facebook. Hamas, of course, referred to him as a leader in their movement in Jerusalem. And I don't know if he was officially a leader in the movement, but he was using social media to incite. He was using social media to call for the deaths of Jews. Using social media to carry out these blood libels that Al-Aqsa is under threat by the Jews, by the Israelis. That's what his tools were, social media. And somehow he was still on the streets. He was able to obtain a weapon and take advantage, as I said, of his residency status and carry out the murder of two Israelis yesterday. We are just in the midst here in Israel and around the world, of course, but in the midst of the high holiday season and police now remaining on high alert in the capital. But it's the same story time and time again. We have seen over the last year, I mean, over the last 100 years, if you go way back, the history of attacks against Jews because they are Jews, against Israelis. And it's unfortunate, and it's sad, and it's disturbing, and it's troubling all at the same time here while we're trying to get our heads together for Yom Kippur, try to wrap our heads around how something horrible like this happened yesterday here in the Capitol. The Fatah, that's Mahmoud Abbas's party, who run the Palestinian Authority, of course, immediately honoring the terrorist as a martyr, according to Palestinian Media Watch, in two separate posts on its official Facebook page. The Fatah movement of Mahmoud Abbas honored the terrorist murderer who went on the shooting spree in Jerusalem yesterday, referring to him as a shaheed, as an Islamic martyr, someone who died for Allah. The status, which is presented by the Palestinian Authority, which is believed to be the highest achievement a Muslim can reach in life. Our peace partners, remember Mahmoud Abbas shaking hands with Prime Minister Netanyahu just last week at the funeral of Shimon Peres. Somehow he was let in, this arch terrorist, the inciter, Mahmoud Abbas, who in front of the UN, in front of the world, carries out similar blood libels against the Jewish people, against Israel. And he's still seen as a peacemaker. He's still seen as parv, as moderate. Yet he is behind it all. His party is behind it all. You could say these are lone wolf attackers, and you could say this terrorist was, this jihadist was Hamas, but it's all one and the same in terms of the ultimate goal, which is the destruction, God forbid, of the state of Israel. It's all, the only difference really is the methodology. And it's a very sad day here in Jerusalem and in Israel, as already one funeral was held yesterday, and I believe either the second one was held either last night or to be held this morning. So that's where things stand here in Jerusalem as we get ready for Yom Kippur, unfortunately. My name again is Josh Haston. This is Israel Uncensored. I would like to thank Binyamin Bresky here in studio. Without him, there is no sound. There's no audio. We can't make these broadcasts. We can't do this. Shout out also and wishing Shana Tova, a happy new year. Let's hear some better news for everyone here at the Land of Israel Network, all the hosts and the engineers and producers and everyone involved in bringing you behind the scenes news from Jerusalem and from all of Israel. There were other stories in the news, and I just don't think I'm going to get to them. I mean, they've been talked about the State Department. We'll bring them up a little bit. The State Department condemning Israel building homes for those who may be thrown out of their homes in Amona, in the Shiloh area. The State Department harshly, on the same level as they condemn the situation in Syria, the same words, the same wordage used to condemn the fact that Israel's planning on building homes for those who are being thrown out of their homes. But the bottom line is the State Department, the EU, the United Nations, they want to see a Judenrein, Judea and Samaria. It doesn't matter where you build, if it's Gilo, if it's Ramat Shlomo, if it's Shiloh. There's no difference in their minds. Anywhere in Judea, Samaria, parts of Jerusalem are off limits in the view, in the skewed view of the State Department, and using over and over this lie that it's against international law for Israel to build in these areas. A story I was going to touch on in greater detail and greater length, but because of yesterday's attack, I'm just not going to get to it. We're going to have Rabbi Guy Avi Hood on, who's our scholar in residence. He was on 2 weeks ago to talk about Rosh Hashanah. He's going to come on to talk about Yom Kippur. But, you know, go check out Carolyn Glick's column from last Friday's Jerusalem Post to learn more how the State Department and the Obama administration essentially, you know, it didn't take very long for them to hold the MOU, the promise of aid, military aid to Israel in the billions of dollars, to hold that over our heads to try to get what they want, to try to, in their words, you know, follow the path of Shimon Peres and those who believe that Oslo was the way to go. Holding it over our heads. Oh, we sent delegations to the president himself and delegations to the funeral of Shimon Peres. We gave you the MOU, and now you need to behave, Israel. That's the message they're trying to send. Holding that agreement over our heads. Holding the fact that they sent a delegation to the funeral over our heads. And now saying, friends, don't do that. Friends, don't build homes for Jews in Judea and Samaria. The area must be Judenrein. That is the bottom line. That is the message they are trying to send, even if they're not saying it explicitly, even if they deny that they are in favor of ethnic cleansing of Jews from Judea and Samaria. But that is what they are trying to do. And read up more about it. It happened about a week ago or so that State Department came out harshly against the Jewish state of Israel. And we're just not going to get to it in detail today. Getting ready for Yom Kippur. Again, Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored. Email me, josh@thelandofisrael.com. I'm taking a social media break. For those who might have noticed, maybe you didn't notice, I've taken a break from Facebook, from Twitter, from LinkedIn, from all that stuff. It just got to be too much. I mean, really, that's one of the reasons. There are other reasons as well, which I'm not going to share. But I'm just taking a social media break. Maybe after Yom Kippur, I'll get back on the wagon and reopen my Facebook page and Twitter account and all of that. But I just needed a break. And sometimes it's healthy just to step away from that world, the virtual world, and try to stay in this world and actually have communication with people in front of them through their faces and over the phone and actually talk to people and not use all the social media outlets. So I took a break in case you were wondering why I have not been using the platforms of Facebook, Twitter, and the rest. Taking a break, but I can still be reached by email, josh@thelandofisrael.com. We're going to take a break and then come back with Rabbi Guy Aviahut to talk about Yom Kippur during these troubling times here in Israel and in Jerusalem. Thanks so much for joining us. Don't go anywhere. Short break. We'll be right back. This is Israel Uncensored, the Land of Israel Network here at thelandofisrael.com. Founded in 1902, World Mizrahi is a global, Torah-driven, community-focused educational organization committed to Jewish identity and destiny. The Land of Israel Network is powered by the Mizrahi World Movement. Welcome back to Israel Uncensored here on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is the 10th of October, 2016. I'm here in Jerusalem in studio with Binyamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire. Without him, there's no sound. We could not make this happen. Yeah, unfortunately, the first half of the program today, depressing after yesterday's jihadist attack in Jerusalem, which resulted in the deaths of two Israelis murdered. If you missed any part of the show, go back and listen to the first half. And we're going to switch gears now. Just 2 weeks ago, we had on the program Rabbi Guy Aviahut from Haboidim, the secondhand clothing store, the thrift shops in Jerusalem, which put people back to work with mental disabilities, doing an amazing job. Two locations, Zion Square in Jerusalem and here in nearby Talpiot. So we're going to switch to Yom Kippur. We had Rosh Hashanah. We stood in front of God. We asked for forgiveness for our sins. We asked for a good, sweet new year with all the symbols. And now we hopefully were inscribed for a good year. And now the deal is sealed on Yom Kippur. That's what Yom Kippur is all about, a day of prayer, a day of fasting, and of reflection. Rabbi Guy, with all of that introduction, welcome back to Israel Uncensored here on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com.
Thank you, sir. What a nice and long introduction.
So,
it's great to be back on the air.
Yeah, thanks very much for joining us, getting ready for the holiday. Unfortunately, a little bit tougher now that we had yet another jihadist attack here in Jerusalem yesterday. You know, not too far away from where you live, not too far away from where I was driving at the time. You just briefly reflect on being a Jerusalemite and what you're going through this morning after yesterday's attack.
Actually, it's not tougher to be in, it's tough to live in this kind of reality. But as far as reflecting on Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement, we see how fragile life is. I mean, people just walking about their ways, and all of a sudden, there's a terrorist attack. I was at the cemetery yesterday. We have there's a yahrzeit for one of my friends, the father of one of my friends, one of his friends, and it's 3 days before Yom Kippur. So every year, I find myself in the cemetery a few days before Yom Kippur, and I say, if you're standing here between the graves and you don't think about the fragility of life and how we stand, one day we're here, another day we're not here anymore and we can't atone for what we did, then something's wrong with you. And yesterday's terrible attack was just another reminder of how fragile life is. So with that in mind, we actually can see the importance of Yom Kippur and see the importance of atonement. If we go through this again and again and again and people lose their lives, then people have no more chance to say, I'm sorry. There's no more chance to atone for what we've done one to another or what we've done in front of God. So this is the perfect opportunity to speak about how we should grab the moment, should take the moment right now and put it in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, I was saying before, and I subscribe to everything you were saying, And I guess that's a good way to think about it, seizing the opportunity. But you know, it's a long day, Yom Kippur. You're in services, you're in synagogue all day long. How do you keep your head in the game, so to speak? How do you keep focused from, you know, it could be 7:30 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon and maybe a little break, and then you're right back in the synagogue? How do you keep your head on the atonement, on asking God to forgive for your sins? How do you keep your focus personally? Maybe you have some tips, some strategies. What's the best way? I know people sometimes take breaks and read books or go outside and maybe even schmooze with friends, talk to friends. How do you keep that focus, Rabbi?
Yeah, I don't think schmoozing with friends and talking to friends keeps your focus. That's exactly a little bit counterproductive. But I'll tell you what I do. I give up. I don't try to mean every word. I don't try to understand everything. The day is long. The day is so long. The day is supposed to get your physical body to give up. We're supposed to be giving up. We're supposed to be in shul. We're not in shul for so many hours because God needs our prayers. We need it because we need our prayers. We need another hour and another hour and another hour of, you know, going through it and not really understanding everything. But, you know, somehow by the end of Yom Kippur, we need to, like, be in an out-of-body experience. And that's what I feel. I feel an out-of-body experience when we get to Ne'ilah, when we get to the end of Yom Kippur. I feel like I don't have any more strength to go and stand in front of God and say, yeah, I sinned, but no, there's no more excuses because you're so tired. If you're conserving energy and you're not so tired, then there's something wrong. The process is not working because then you're still standing steadfast against Hashem. You're standing with your body and you're standing with your gashmiyut, your worldly needs. You're standing in front of Hashem. But when you don't eat, you don't drink, you're tired, you're standing, you're sitting and standing and sitting and standing. It's a little bit of a form of torture, but you know what? It's a good torture because it cleans your brain, because it says, what am I? 25 hours? I haven't eaten in 25 hours. I've been up a little bit. I've been standing and sitting, standing and sitting. All of a sudden, I'm so weak. It makes you realize how weak we are as people and how when we try to confront Hashem and we try to be brazen against Hashem and we try to be brazen against other people, how silly it is, how stupid, in fact, it is for us to try to be so strong all 365 days of the year. When you see that you fast for 25 hours and you're like a little leaf, somebody comes and pushes you over. If you had to fast for another 10 hours, you'd be like, oh, I need, you know, hospitalization. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to come and show us how small we are and how weak we are. So to answer your question, it's not about keeping your focus and keeping your strength. It's about losing. It's about losing it. Losing yourself in Yom Kippur. Losing yourself in the experience.
And from what I've learned, and that's an amazing point you made, from what I learned after that experience of fasting and being tired and weak, you're supposed to come out of there confident that you did your part in order to seal a good fate in the book of life for another year. And the reason I say that is because I was always told that right after Yom Kippur, you don't take a break, you don't do anything else. I mean, you eat a little bit of food, you drink water, get yourself back up and running, get your body back to normal. And then right away, you're supposed to turn towards Sukkot, building of the sukkah. You know, obviously there's only a few days, you don't have that much time, but from a spiritual perspective, the reason Sukkot, if I'm not mistaken, is called Zman Simchatenu, the time of our happiness. You know, you don't say that about Passover, you don't say that about any of the other holidays, is because you're supposed to have that confidence that what you did on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, was enough in the view of God, in terms of your atonement, in terms of the things you did, you're asking for forgiveness, in order to now switch and make a 180 from that point of, I guess, weakness and atonement to ultimate happiness. And that's why you go right into it, building the sukkah, getting ready for Sukkot, Zman Simchatenu, the time of happiness. I mean, that's what I get out of the fact that you're supposed to right away make that switch. Is that something you subscribe to, Rabbi?
Let me get to it by referring to our annual talk before Purim. As you remember, we speak before Purim, and we speak about Tanit Esther, speak about the fast of Esther. And as you said to me this past year, you know already, the fast is not because Esther fasted, but because we fast before we go out to war. And the Jewish people went out to war against the Amalekites. So they fasted. And that was a Jewish tradition of fasting before you go out to war. And why do we fast? We fast to show that our strength does not come from our bodies, does not come from ourselves, but it comes from God. So if you've done Yom Kippur the way you're supposed to, and if you've given up your power, if you've given up your strength, you've given up yourself, and you realize that your strength comes from God, then the most natural thing that you want to do is go out and celebrate God, and celebrate God's mitzvot, celebrate God's commandment. And the nearest commandment is to prepare the sukkah. So you go from one commandment to another. This is if you feel right. If you're still concentrated on your body, then you're tired. Then you roll up and you go to sleep because you're so tired, I haven't slept in 24 hours, but then you've lost your point. If you've managed to get yourself in a spiritual level where your spirit rises over your body, the most natural thing to do is to be happy in the mitzvot. Zman simchatenu is a simcha of the mitzvot. Yom Kippur is when we receive the second luchot, the second tablet we received in Yom Kippur. Because after the first tablets were discarded by Moshe Rabbeinu when he saw the golden calf, then he went through a few cycles of 40 days, and then he went up to Har Sinai for the second time on the first day of Elul. First day of Elul, that's 30 days of Elul, and then another 10 days of Tishrei, and that's Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, Moshe came down again with the second Luchot, and the second Luchot was stronger than the first, because they were not made by God. They were made in connection with Moshe Rabbeinu, in connection with man. They were Luchot that gave us strength on this world. And that's why Zman Simchatenu has to come after Yom Kippur. After you've given up your own strength and your own self, you go out of your physical house and you go into a hut for a whole week. You're sitting in a hut. You're eating in a hut. You're entertaining in a hut. You do everything in the sukkah. What kind of happiness is this? That's not happiness. So yes, it is. Because you're happy because of the spiritual part of it. You're happy because you realize that's a gift from God. The gift of God of not enslaving us to this physical world is having freedom from this physical world into the greatness of God.
Rabbi Guy, we are unfortunately out of time, but I'm so glad not only did we get to talk about Yom Kippur, we got to get a lead-in into Sukkot. I mean, I don't know what the schedule here is going to be on the program because of the holidays coming up, but I think that was a beautiful insight, not only into Yom Kippur, but into Sukkot, and I think people need to listen to the message, take it to heart, apply it to their celebration of Sukkot, apply it to their trying to add meaning and fulfillment of the Yom Kippur. Not only the services, but the day itself.
Can I give you one more sentence?
Yeah, we can do one more sentence. If Ben Bresky, engineer, says it's okay, he says it's okay. we have time for one more.
I just watched a little bit of the presidential debate. And yep. Without watching the presidential debate, you must know what it's all about. It's all about things that people said, or Donald Trump said. Obviously, Hillary Clinton also with her things. But things that Donald Trump said in private, in what he thought was a conversation nobody listens to, and now it comes back to in his face at the biggest stage in the world. That's what we should look at. There's nothing hidden. There's nothing hidden from God. When we stand in front of God in Yom Kippur, we can't say, oh, he didn't hear that. He didn't see that. We're standing in front of God, and he has all the records in front of him. If you're standing there and you look at what Donald Trump has had to go through in the last 72 hours for idiotic things he said, but he said them off mic. He thought nobody listened. There's no such thing as nobody listened. Today, more than ever, we understand how everything is recorded and everything is seen. And when you stand in front of God, realizing that everything is recorded and everything is seen, then you can come to a much bigger atonement than what we could have 50, 100,000 years ago.
Amen to that. Very relevant. Thanks so much, Rabbi Guy Avihud. Boydim, check it out. Two Jerusalem locations, one in the center of town, Kikar Tzion, another in Talpiot, doing amazing work. Secondhand thrift shop, putting people with mental disabilities back into the workforce. I want to wish you and your entire family a Gemar Chatima Tova. May you be sealed for a wonderful year. Only good things to you, your entire family, and to all of Israel, Rabbi.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, my friend. I would like to use this opportunity to ask forgiveness if I've been late to our meetings, if I've hurt you in some way. It was unintentional at all, and I really ask you for complete forgiveness. And if you've done anything to me, which obviously you haven't, you should rest assured that I forgive you completely.
I appreciate that. I was just about to ask for forgiveness as well. So have a meaningful fast, and we'll talk again soon.
I'm sorry for jumping the gun then.
You did great. You did great. And that'll wrap it up for today. Wishing all of our listeners a Gemar Chatima Tova, may you be inscribed in the Book of Life for a wonderful year. And as we always say, concluding the show, let's all be safe. From Jerusalem, Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. Shana Tova, Gemar Chatima Tova, only good things. Be safe from Jerusalem. All the best.
Hi, this is Eve Harrow, host of Rejuvenation on the Land of Israel Network. You can hear a new show from me every Sunday, and every day of the week, shows from another one of my very talented fellow show hosts. Reach me, Eve, at thelandofisrael.com, and keep listening, everybody. We love your feedback. The Land of Israel, coming at you every day, every week. That's the Land of Israel Network on thelandofisrael.com.